You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Chris Boris. Chris, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Chris, let's talk about what you're working on right now. What's happening in your studio? I know you're in your studio. Where are you also? Where is your studio?
It's actually, I think technically it's Park Slope, but it's on the border. It's right on the border of Gowanus. And the strange thing is after we moved here, literally right across the street, a giant art store, which is incredible. So we're right across the street from a huge artist and craftsman store. And so it's just a great resource to have that.
That is cool. So let's talk about what's happening. What are you working on now in your studio? And I guess maybe we'll talk about your last show as well. But what are you working on? Yeah.
Primarily, I'm still working on sort of several different types of paintings. But I'm working on some smaller abstractions that are, I sort of came into through the what I call like post-pop paintings, which are the paintings using the circles on top, which is from a template for children's activity books called Paint with Water. So I got that idea to take to isolate one of those circles and put it in the middle of a canvas and then either leave it blank or have color dripping from it. And I used to do that just on like a white background, or I started doing it most recently on a black background. But now I'm also sort of doing it on textured grounds that I create, mostly acrylic on canvas. Sometimes I'm using like a Day-Glo sign cloth. I'm also doing abstractions that are using the drips of color themselves without any circle, but sometimes I'm actually using skateboard grip tape on the front, or I'm putting lettering or like stenciling lettering on the sides of the canvas. So I'm actually utilizing the sides as well to spell out words or phrases. So I'm still doing my paint with water style color book sort of paintings that have logos and also imagery, either my own imagery or appropriated imagery, but I'm also doing these abstractions. And I think the abstractions are getting a little more, I don't know if experimental is the right word, because that sometimes sounds a little flaky, but I am sort of trying to push myself with the abstractions just to come up with different ways to make them so they look, although they look like they're cohesive, they are, some of them are quite different from one another, like how they're made.
So let's talk about both of those things. I mean, because there's a narrative in your work, a kind of messages, and there's also this abstraction. And like you talked about, there's those, that you had this kind of six circles on the top that you said was drawn from pulled from a children's book. And that's just an interesting element and kind of a mysterious element. Tell me a little bit about that. How did that start? You're looking at a kid's book, and it's about how to paint, I imagine, and it has these circles, which are sort of like a palette, right?
Yeah. So I think it was just sort of like in the back of my mind, but Paint with Water activity books, I remember them growing up, and the thing that was really cool about them was the palette was, it was like a watercolor paint that was embedded on the paper. So basically all you needed was water and a watercolor brush, and you dipped it in the, you dipped your brush in the water, and then you sort of got some of the paint from one of the circles, and then you would go down to essentially like a coloring book style illustration below, and you would, choose where to, fill in the color. And I sort of remembered these from my childhood, and then living in Williamsburg for many years, I encountered, like a dollar store or a discount store. This was probably like 20 years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, and I saw one that was from the 60s cartoon Johnny Quest, which I was a big fan of. And so I purchased, and then basically I got the idea of taking the, I think the first one I did or the second one I did used imagery from Johnny Quest, but I sort of collaged it together to make it this kind of really phallic sort of weird, you know, composition. And that's kind of like how I got my start doing that. And then I've just kind of continued using those for the past maybe almost 15 years. And I really liked it because it kind of, before that, I was just sort of, it wasn't that I was making random paintings, but I really wanted to ground them in a way, like to make a series that would fit together. And I really felt like the combination of this idea with the paint with water was something, I've always been interested in pop imagery, and I don't know anyone who's ever made like a painting using this template. So I wanted to do something that was somewhat new, but, you know, obviously is related to pop art, but something that I think is sort of unique to my work. And then also just the idea that it gives you so much, it does give you a base for the painting, but it also gives you a lot of different options as far as, you know, do you paint them fully? Do you have the color drip? Do you leave them blank? So over the years, I've just tried to come up with so many different permutations, and how that influences the imagery below. Sometimes it's totally random, like how the colors drip. Other times I really try to control it. But it's like this sort of contrast between like the hard edge imagery and then the sort of chaotic nature of the color dripping, or the just the decision making with the colors can really affect, you know, the way that the painting feels, whether it's sort of like a dark feeling, or it's whether it's more poppy or whatnot.
Right, and it is a great kind of iconography or signature, that kind of rectangle with those colors. There's something that's very graphic and recognizable about that. But the content that goes inside these, you know, especially if we can talk about the last show that you had, American Jesus, the content inside is it range, right? It's some of it's completely abstract, and some of it's has words. It seems message oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that? It could be in the context of what you're making now, or we could just talk about the American Jesus show that was.
Mm-hmm. It's very similar. I mean, I've sort of after the American Jesus show, I did a residency at Mana Contemporary, and I kind of continued with the same type of work, and I'm still really just kind of keep going, just trying to keep pushing myself, you know, to make things that are related but that are slightly pushing in slightly new territory, or using iconography that I haven't used before. But it's all I'm still sort of building off of that show and continuing with that work. I haven't really like started a brand new style or anything. I do have a few things that are sort of like, they're not really ready to be, you know, they're still like sort of in the gestation phase. So I can't really talk about everything that I'm working on. But I do think that my goal for the American Jesus show was, you know, to put, for me, that was my biggest exhibition ever, really, especially in New York. And it kind of showed like the range of work that I've been doing over the past couple years, and also not different styles necessarily, but different ways to make a painting. So like you said, some of them have are very abstract. They're just either circles with a sanded canvas or dripping canvases. Some of them have appropriated imagery. Some of them have imagery that are basically like enlargements of doodles or drawings. But a lot of them A lot of them have like sort of loaded, you know, signifiers. The logos that I'm usually from, some of them are from quite like underground hardcore punk bands. Some of them are from more well-known hardcore punk bands, but the majority of them, I try to sort of match the logo meaning or the meaning of the band or what they stand for, sometimes with the imagery itself. So for some people, they really get into it if they know the band. I mean, some of the bands are really obscure, so I don't expect most people to know them, but over the past few years, I've really had like kind of like a growing audience of people that do know some of these bands and really sort of how like they kind of read the work on a deeper level. But I think most people can sort of understand where I'm coming from regardless, even if they don't know like the significance of the band or the exact connection. So a lot of it is, I mean, the title American Jesus is based on a Bad Religion song. And it totally sort of sums up, you know, our current situation with Trump and his supporters and a lot of like religious fanatics on the right. So a lot of it is coming from, you know, there's sort of like a political aspect to some of the work. Some of it is more blatant. Some of it is about religion. I grew up Roman Catholic, until I was about 16 or so. I was going to church every Sunday with my family in Sunday school. Some of it is more about like pop culture and underground culture, and it doesn't really have, you know, any type of like blatant political or social significance, but it's just sort of imagery that is either related to sort of underground or pop culture, or something that is related to sort of like what I grew up with. Which is primarily I'm really influenced by like underground comic books of the 60s and 70s, and then Raw magazine in the 80s, edited by Art Spiegelman and Françoise Mouly. So that's sort of where I'm coming from, is underground comics, pop culture, aggressive music.
So a lot of those mediums. I mean, well, Raw magazine is Art Spiegelman, I think, was also involved in that, right? There was his magazine, or he was one of the editors, and he's written these kind of narratives and stories, and yours sometimes border on that or are telling stories, but seem to refrain from having like an all-out narrative, something that's specific to the or a message. Or is that not true? Like some of them are pointing towards things, and they're characters that look like they're talking to each other, saying something, but we don't know exactly what they're saying. And some of that, like you're saying, maybe riffing off like a logo or, you know, a vibe or a feeling from a band. But there's other work, is there, that also carries a more specific message, so to speak. I mean, especially mm-hmm. the American Jesus show, that there's, you know, about killing your idols or other things where there's mm-hmm. They're more message oriented. So what I'm saying is, though you're pulling from a lot of those that world, Art Spiegelman, Raw magazine and other comics, yours seems to stop short at kind of spelling out a narrative. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I think the narrative can be quite it's quite opaque for some people. Like, for example, I have a painting called Death Threat, and that's from that was in the American Jesus show, and it's like an acrylic on canvas painting, but it's basically black and white, and it's using a collage of different imagery that all relates to the logo in one way or the other. Like, for example, the upper right hand corner has a drawing that I did, like a mouse doodle of the rapper Eazy-E from the band NWA, who passed away. And then below the logo in the middle, which is smaller, is a graphic that I got off the web of Dimebag Darrell, who was the guitarist from the band Pantera, who actually was murdered on stage by some crazy fan. And then on the far left, there was imagery that I basically stole from the DC sniper, the father and son team that wound up killing people in the DC area. I think that was about 15 years ago or so, where they were just like sort of murdering people at random with a rifle. And when the boy as part of that team was captured, they found his notebook, and I believe he continued drawing even when he was in jail. And basically, all these drawings were very disturbing, and a lot of them either showed him and the older man that he was doing this crime with, or they were showing a lot of just bizarre sort of imagery that kind of showed how he was sort of brainwashed by this other guy. And so that drawing is kind of stolen from there. And then the bottom has these flowers, sort of like the idea of like pushing up daisies. That's taken from a dollar store box of tissues, which I just thought was an amazing image, because the tissue box literally just had this one flower printed in yellow, I believe, on it. So I scanned that and then basically included that in the painting as well. So I mean, I don't expect anyone to know all of these things, but sometimes people will pick out little pieces. So I think it stands alone, you know, as a painting, but then sometimes I really get people that figure this out or that know parts of it really start to get excited about it, because a lot of times I'm dealing with culture that's sort of just not in the mainstream, or it's sort of just abject subject matter or sort of disturbing.
That's interesting. And so you're continuing to explore this kind of subject matter in your studio right now and working in some of the ways that you've discussed, because you're making paintings, but you also do these kind of digital collages, or there was a term you coined, right? A kind of virtual
dumpster diving.
Yeah, virtual dumpster diving. Tell me about virtual dumpster diving.
I had an exhibition years ago in the Bronx that was actually called virtual dumpster diving, but I sort of made up that term because just the way that, you know, somebody would dumpster dive for, hopefully not for food, but for, you know, something that was in a dumpster, like an antique or just something that, you know, a lot of times artists, I guess it's more rare in New York City, but, you know, you would always hear stories of somebody finding something in a dumpster, like an old antique or a painting or anything that you could use sort of like to turn into a, you know, to turn into a Rauschenberg or something. You know, now the web is so prevalent that I started getting so much stuff from the web. I thought of that term. And I did make a series of digital collages, which I still make. They're not sort of as, they're not as central as my painting, but I am exhibiting a new one coming up in a few weeks, actually, at Shiva Gallery at John Jay College. The show is called Foodie Fever. That opens September 24th, and I believe it runs through November 1st. So in that one, I made a collage all of images from the web after doing a Google image search for the word or the phrase hot dog. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's like 100 JPEGs of the craziest sort of imagery related to hot dogs that I could find. And then I pieced them together in Photoshop. And the one thing that's not clear, I mean, you can see them on my website, but the one thing that's not clear about them is that I don't ever really cheat usually. So what I do is I place them together and I use the original size of the JPEG. So I'm not manipulating the size. That's the actual size that I found online. The hot dog one actually is the first one that I ever sort of cheated. But the others forever, I've only pasted them in and then tried to get them to fit together, sort of like a puzzle. So for some of them, it's been really complicated, like the ones with the logos and some of the others. It's been quite complicated. Like the original, I think the first one I made was Saved by the Bell. and this one was quite complicated because it would be really easy to start with like a black background, for example, in Photoshop and just, you know, move the things around. But basically wherever the images that you see, they're butted right up against each other and there's no gaps. So some of them do overlap, but I never adjusted the size. And I was very specific about this sort of formula for making it. I'm not quite sure why, but in a way it really helped sort of like the randomness of the composition to have to fit them together like that.
And that show is opening fairly soon, correct?
Yeah, so it's one piece in a group show called Foodie Fever, and the new collage is called Hot Dogs, so that that opens in just a couple weeks, and at John Jay College Gallery, that's on September 24th. I have shown a couple of those at the Artist Run Space Parlor Bushwick in Brooklyn, but like I said, the past 10 years or so, I've mostly concentrated on painting, if given the opportunity, I would exhibit the digital collages more, but I just found that sometimes, I don't know why, because Mike Kelly is one of my favorite artists. I've always, sort of looked at his career and looked at what he did as something to sort of not emulate, but I have had issues, though, where I'm sort of confused, like, are you a painter? Are you a, do you make photo-based work? Do you make video? Like, what they, they want to sort of put you in a box, so...
Right, and that's opening on September 24th. You said.
Yeah, that's opening September 24th. It's called Foodie Fever, and it is curated by Dominic Lombardi and Salia Rakopoulos. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that properly, but that is at John Jay College Gallery on September 24th.
Great. There'll be a link to their possible in this interview as well. And I want to ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment?
Actually, I just finished a book by J.G. Ballard called Kingdom Come. And it was quite interesting because it talks about consumerism and how these sort of bands of people in a small English suburb outside of London are sort of abusing immigrants and becoming very violent and sort of like a neo-fascist right-wing gang has sort of like overtaken the suburbs of London. And I just thought it was really interesting considering like what's going on right now in the United States with like these sort of conflicts that we're having, the most recent one, I guess, in Portland with like the Proud Boys and Antifa. The other book that I am about halfway through is On Being an Artist by Michael Craig Martin. And I really am enjoying that. And I'm also, he's somebody that I hadn't looked at as closely maybe as I should have. And I'm starting to sort of try to understand more what he's done over the years and see how that relates to what I'm doing.
Well, thank you for that. And I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks. I'm so glad I could tell you what I'm up to, and I really appreciate it.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.